I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to Paranormal Thoughts Podcast. And as always, thanks for joining me. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about Bigfoot. Just before I get into that, though, I just want to say if you enjoy this episode or any of our previous episodes of the podcast, please subscribe to the podcast so you get kept in the loop for every time I upload a new episode. Please leave a review of the podcast. If you use an Apple device, please leave a 5-star rating and also leave a little review. It really helps the podcast get pushed up in sort of recommendations or charts so more people can find the podcast. And if you listen on another platform, I'm sure there's some sort of rating system. So please, if you enjoy it, please leave us a rating. It really does help. Also, we have a blog, which is paranormalthoughtspodcast.wordpress.com. There'll be a bunch of stuff on the blog in relation to this episode, a bunch of clips and stuff like that. So definitely go check that out. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. Once again, follow me there. You will be more so kept in the loop, especially on Instagram, with Instagram stories and stuff like that. I like to post bits and pieces on there. So it's always kind of good to keep in touch like that. If you ever want to reach out, best place to do that would be at paranormalthoughtspodcast@gmail.com. You could also send me a message on Instagram or Facebook. Instagram's probably my preferred medium out of the two. Just a bit, I don't know, I guess I'm on it more, so it's a bit easier to kind of keep across. But thank you for all the people who do reach out and let me know your thoughts on the podcast. It really means a lot, so it's much appreciated. Everything I've just mentioned will be in the description of this podcast. So I can't believe I've had this podcast for about 3 years now, and I haven't specifically done an episode just on the concept of Bigfoot. I have done an interview with someone from the BFRO, the Bigfoot Research Organization, over in America, and that was some time ago now. And I've also done an episode on the Australian version of the Bigfoot, the Yowie, but I haven't specifically, I suppose, spoken about the Northern American Sasquatch, as it's more so related over there. But at the same time, I didn't want to just talk about that. I kind of want to look at the whole worldwide concept that is Bigfoot. Also, just in a few other interviews and discussions on the podcast, it's kind of come up a fair bit speaking about Bigfoot. But I just feel like it kind of deserves, the whole sort of phenomena deserves like its own episode. And I was just looking the other day and thought, oh, I haven't actually done that really. So why not sort of look a little bit into it and I guess give my thoughts around it, because it's something I'm really interested in. And I guess something like Bigfoot is quite a hot topic and has been for some time now, with you know, a lot of shows kind of picking up, like, you know, Finding Bigfoot. A lot of new media kind of will look at it now. Obviously a lot of podcasts, a lot of books, a lot of information out there, and it's definitely not a new topic. You know, it's been quite popular since the 60s, and now it's, you know, once again, bigger than ever. A lot of Bigfoot merchandise, kind of like a lot of paranormal, how it has really come into the mainstream of things, and how, I don't know, the imagery of the stuff that we kind of talk about here on this podcast, it is really popular, in all honesty, which is, it's cool. You know, I do like seeing it around. It, you know, it's obviously can be a bit of a meme as well, which is completely fine. I'm all about, you know, just getting the message out there. So any sort of way that you can kind of come across the topic, what sort of anything to sort of spark a bit of interest in people, I think is really a good thing. So I don't know, it's a really interesting topic, and I thought of a few different sort of points to sort of break down and just kind of go from there, why I think that whatever Bigfoot is exists. Now, I guess the biggest one would be that all around the world, a lot of different cultures have come across whatever this large ape-type creature is, right? I think for the most part, the descriptions are pretty bang on. Maybe just, you know, a few different key components that might be a little different. But that could also just be from, you know, the eyewitness, how close they were, how long they got to look at the creature. I think a lot of that can kind of come into point of play as well. But obviously, pretty much your general description of a Bigfoot is quite a large, hairy ape. It's also kind of considered to look quite human, a bit of a humanoid type creature as well in some cases. So this large, hairy ape, man looking creature, which doesn't actually sound that ridiculous. And that's what sort of blows me away. Like, I was talking about this earlier this evening before I started recording this, and the questions I was kind of getting about Bigfoot, you know, the more you sort of talk about it and sort of just break down every key component, it's not that ridiculous. Like, when you want to take the route of that it's a sort of undiscovered animal, it's a cryptozoological type finding at the moment because we don't actually know whether or not, in terms of science, that they exist or not, I suppose. But when you break down what they most likely are, which is, I suppose, like an unknown ape, that's not that ridiculous, in all honesty, you know. I guess the thing that sets them apart from any other sort of ape currently is that they're bipedal, which pretty much means that they walk on two legs, their back hind legs. And the fact that these creatures are seen, you know, all through Northern America, Canada, here in Australia, in Asia, it really gives a lot of weight into, well, if all these different cultures who, you know, at one time, suppose, didn't know about these other civilizations all around the world, you could say we're all reporting pretty much the exact same thing, then I don't know how. It's always hard when people don't find eyewitness accounts or, you know, I suppose, you know, many generations passing down stories enough evidence of anything. But how is that not almost the best evidence? Like, sure, things can be misidentified, but if so many people have come forward and shared stories for, you know, hundreds of years, then what much more can we really want other than obviously seeing them ourselves, which people still do, you know? And it's kind of one of those things, it's almost like Bigfoot's one of the best kept secrets ever, in a sense. Like, it's not a secret because we all know about it, but we don't have, we don't have access to seeing these creatures whenever we want, or, you know, you can't go to a zoo, thank God, and see them. That would be a really interesting turn of events if one day, whatever these creatures are, you could actually go and view for like a monetary type sense. It'd be really, I don't know, I've never really thought of it like that actually. That's makes me really uneasy to actually think about that potentially being a thing in the future. But moving away from that, how can so many civilizations see almost the exact same thing, yet we have never, I guess in a scientific sense, come across exactly what it is, been able to pinpoint, this is what this creature is, this is why we can't find it, or, you know, why it's so like aloof out in the wild. I guess that's my buy-in for it, is it's been seen for hundreds of years through all different types of cultures, and it's almost like, for me, it's almost like case closed. Well, not case closed, but that's almost like, you know, it'd be great to have some other evidence, but that's enough for me to buy into it, which you might think is a bit insane, but for me, that makes sense. A lot of topics I've spoken about, as soon as there's a lot of eyewitness accounts and people have documented these cases in quite a lot of detail, I go, you've got me. There's something, regardless of if it's something paranormal or whatever, there's something there because people have witnessed it enough for there to be a case built. Just before I move away from the idea that these creatures are seen all around the world, well, how are they different, I suppose? And a big one would be climate, I think. Great example is, you know, Northern America. If you were in, say, Northern California, where it can get quite cold, that would be a very different creature in some sense to what we might see here in Australia, in far north Queensland, where it's in the tropics, where it literally doesn't, they don't have winter up there. It's just hot all year round. And that is a massive hotspot. Even, you know, I now live in South Australia, and it's not, from what my understanding is, I don't know, I haven't come across a ton of reports, unlike when I was back in Queensland, where there were a ton, and because Queensland's quite tropical, it's a good climate, I suppose, for whatever this creature was, where it didn't really, I guess it doesn't thrive on the cold here. But then, you know, you look at something like the Yeti, which is, you know, has been brought up in very cold mountainous type climates, which I suppose where it needs to have that sort of temperature. So whatever these creatures are, I guess the biggest difference is just how they're built for that particular climate. Sure, their food sources would probably be different depending on, you know, the location where they are. But I think in terms of their identity type features, they sound pretty similar. So whatever the difference is, I think it's literally just location and climate. And that would, I guess, have a few attributes to however they kind of operate. But I think for the most part, whatever these creatures are that we're seeing around the world, I think they might not be exactly the same thing, but they're definitely related, you know, in some sort of family. Whatever evidence is there, we have like bits and pieces that we can kind of, you know, put together. But obviously for science to actually admit that one exists, we'd have to, I guess, have a piece of one, you know, maybe like an arm, a foot, a head, you know, something like that. Either, I guess, see one alive or I guess like a full body. A big evidence point for me is footprints that have been cast molded. So, you know, if a Bigfoot sighting has recently happened and maybe there was some rain, which would be very typical, you know, for our sightings here in Australia of the Yowie up in Queensland, where there's a lot of rain throughout the summer seasons. So the ground would obviously be quite soft and moist. So whenever someone would witness a Bigfoot, most likely at some point along that sort of path where it was, you know, stomping through, it's going to leave some footprints. And there's been quite a few cast molds made over the years, and they're great to see because it really does give you an idea of how big these creatures are. And it's really surreal, you know, because obviously Bigfoot, it obviously has that name for a reason, right? But when you actually see the size of these things, you go, holy shit, this is, like, what is this? You know, it's insane, and it's, I don't know, it just blows me away. So an anthropologist back in the 1960s of the name of Grover Krantz was at the University of Washington State, and he actually got his hands on a molding of a what was supposed to be a Sasquatch. What's great about Grover was that after he got his hands on this foot cast mold, he openly became a big advocate for trying to find evidence to prove that these creatures actually did exist. And obviously being back in, you know, his sort of time of the 60s, that was not a popular opinion. And even, you know, now I suppose cryptozoology is still quite taboo in a sense. You know, I love that we have things like that that exist. I think it's really important to sort of be looking for these creatures. And, you know, as I said, if there's enough reports, I think it's definitely worthwhile looking into. What I find interesting, one of the casts that Dr. Grover Krantz looked at actually featured a injury on the foot, and he was able to figure out that it was definitely some sort of bipedal upright walking primate. And whoever took the cast mold either took, you know, a footprint that was clearly on the ground, or that they were an artist with a expert knowledge of the primate foot anatomy. Obvious to this anthropologist that what he was looking at was some sort of primate's foot. And it's interesting that he could tell by the way that the injury on the foot, how it was scarring and healing, which is actually insane that they can tell this from a mold, was legitimate. It was definitely something that was injured and, you know, was going through this healing process. Now, as it says there, sure, this could have been a artist who has a very good understanding of a primate's foot. Sure, you know, it seems very unlikely, but sure, maybe someone, you know, with an interest in some apes could actually create something like that. But I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think that makes any sense, in all honesty. So I think the cast molds that we have, and, you know, they're all around the world, are a really good asset that we hold for evidence. So even though I'm quite a believer, as I've mentioned in this topic, I'm not someone who's going to, you know, leave out information just to sort of prove my point, because I think it's interesting. Obviously, you would imagine a creature such as a Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yeti, whatever you call it, wherever you are, is covered in hair, right? So if you have a sighting of this creature, maybe it rubs up against a tree, a good chance might be some hair left behind. And obviously this happened time and time again. So there's a bunch of hair samples that have been cross-checked with other DNA. And for the most part, every bit of hair has come back as either it's come back as something that we can that we know of, like wolves, deer, bears, coyote, horses, even human. The hare that people, you know, might have claimed to potentially have been some sort of Bigfoot type creature, it's not the case. But while I was reading, and I'll put this up on the blog, while I was reading this DNA report of the genetic analysis of hare samples attributed to Yeti, Bigfoot and other anomalous primates, which is a scientific article where they break down pretty much everything that they have come across with when they looked at a bunch of different samples from all around the world of this hare. And there was only two strains that they couldn't really find what it actually was. So both come from South Asia, one from India and another one from Bhutan. The difference with the hare was in the colour. The hare from India was a golden brown, where the hare from Bhutan was actually a reddish brown. They believe that because they couldn't actually figure out what the hare was from, they've come to the conclusion that the hare must come from some sort of previously unrecognized bear species. So something that, you know, doesn't actually exist, or they can't prove exists. So rather than, I suppose, coming to maybe a conclusion of this could actually be some sort of bipedal type primate, they've gone with the conclusion that it's most likely some sort of Himalayan type bear, even though those have never actually been proven to exist. So I find that interesting. I suppose obviously bears exist, so they're going with that sort of route, because I suppose they're not going to believe that primates are in these locations. So what's the closest thing that is potentially bipedal and large and with some sort of hair or fur? A bear. But yeah, they don't actually exist in those locations. So regardless, there's something, at least out in the Himalayas and throughout India, there's something out there that, you know, science actually isn't aware of. So that is interesting. I'm going to take that as a win, because regardless, they haven't been able to prove every bit of hair that they've ever been, that's ever sort of come through. So, and I just like that, it's not a Bigfoot. It has to be some sort of bear that, you know, we don't actually think exists, I suppose. But that's easier for them to believe. So I found that interesting anyway. So, yes, hair, I don't think is the best argument in this case, because we haven't really come across anything which, and even if we did, where in that case, they're going to put it, sort of place it somewhere else where it's more realistic for them. So until they can probably get, you know, a corpse or something, be like, okay, so this is the DNA from this creature. I guess I don't really have anything to cross-check.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
But with anyone. So obviously, the whole Bigfoot craze really came about in the 60s when a very famous tape was released into the world. This footage I'm speaking about is the Patterson-Gimlin film. So this footage was captured in 1967 by Bluff Creek in Northern California. And Patterson and Gimlin actually rented a 16mm camera and purposely went out on horseback to document a Bigfoot. And I suppose it is one of those very rare instances where it kind of just perfectly worked out for them. And even how they were able to film the creature in, you know, it's obviously quite grainy being 16mm film, but it's still great. The way they sort of got the shot of this creature, you know, it turns and looks at the camera. It's actually pretty remarkable, right? And even though it's what's interesting is that people will, you know, claim that that's a hoax, but there's actually more evidence. And honest to God, there is more evidence out there that it's actually real, which is pretty incredible. And the biggest attribute is when you superimpose a human into the frame. A human wearing a costume, you know, and this isn't, when you look at this creature, this isn't just a Halloween costume, you know, this isn't a gorilla suit. This would have to be a very well-made piece of gear. And they've done, you know, measurements where with the tree lines to actually give you an idea of how tall this creature is. And the proportions don't line up. The arms are far longer than its legs. So even if a human was in the suit, it doesn't make any sense because our legs are naturally longer than our arms, right? In my case, not so much. I have freakishly long arms for anyone who is interested. It's a real pain in the ass to carry anything heavy where my arms sort of droop down because bags drag on the floor and shit. But enough about me anyway. So it's pretty much a human does not fit these proportions. And while we're sort of talking about footage being found, a great YouTuber is Thinkathunker. Once again, jump on the blog. I'll put a bunch of his stuff on there. He is incredible at breaking down Bigfoot footage. I've seen footage where he kind of, you know, can't come to a conclusion, and other footage where he goes, yes, this could actually be hoaxed. But he is great at, once again, sort of superimposing, sort of doing models of how these creatures move. And, you know, a lot of these, it's easy enough to say someone in a costume, but when you actually see muscles moving and, you know, to actually fill out a suit like that, it just doesn't add up a lot of the time. So someone like Thinkathunker breaking this stuff down really gives it some validity to it. And he's someone who's quite, I won't say skeptical, but he goes through because he wants to find the good shit. He doesn't want, you know, the hoax kind of stuff. So he's there to disprove it. He wants to get to the truth, you know. So I think people like that, when there's all this footage out there, you know, it's great that people can kind of cross-check it all. And I think the Patterson Gimlin footage is real. When you actually hear them speak about it, it's a pretty extreme case. And they honestly, I don't know, they set out to do it and they did it. Like, it's really bizarre. But that footage, and what I'll do as well, because obviously this is a podcast, I'm not going to go, this case are really good videos. But what I'll do is I'll try to find some clips that I think are quite strong and mostly just be from Thinkathunker. But if you jump on the blog, you can check it out and sort of go through and find some bits that sort of, you know, you think could actually be the real deal. Another big one would be audio recordings. And there are quite a lot online. And from doing some reading, I wanted to see what people thought were the most realistic. You know, I didn't want to sort of come across, I don't know, it's interesting. There's heaps out there and I've even been sent some. And it's when you don't actually know what you're listening for or like listening to, I suppose, it's easy enough to think, oh, I haven't heard that sound before, but I don't know every animal sound either by any means. So I'm not really much of an outdoorsy sort of person. So I think it's good to, you know, look into what other people have sort of come across. And the big one, and I'm going to chuck some of this in for you in just a second so you can actually hear. The best recordings that I could come across were the Sierra sounds. And these are compilations of recordings from California, Sierra Nevada mountains in the 1970s. So they're not new by any means, but that's kind of I think it's kind of a good thing as well, though. A few of the recordings had also been obtained through eastern states, such as Ohio, Mississippi, and Florida. But these recordings are pretty incredible. And, you know, what sound does a Sasquatch make? They're sort of like they're very distinct sounds compared to other animals. It's kind of like loud howls and screams as well, which is quite terrifying, I think. And also a lot of wood knocks, you know, they would knock on trees, sort of rocks clacking, a lot of these sort of sounds, you know. I've heard reports of people, you know, clacking wood or wood knocks or, you know, doing the same thing with rocks and actually getting a pattern back from the forest, you know, and what animal is sort of capable of, you know, you knocking three times on something and then them, you know, repeating that pattern back to you. It's obviously something with a fair bit of intelligence and capability, you know, obviously probably having hands and fingers in order to do that. So here's some of these recordings now for you to have a little listen to. And some of those sounds, I tell you what, it's so interesting to sort of put a sound to this visual thing, this massive creature that, you know, we've all seen pictures and videos of. And as soon as you put some of these sounds to it, it's really sort of starts to paint a full picture of what people have been seeing for all these years, you know. And it's always interesting, like when I'm sitting here talking about how Bigfoot sounds and how Bigfoot looks, you know, and also a smell is a massive attribute to these animals. People often smell them far sooner than they would actually ever see one. People who go out and look for these things, man, like if you were to actually see one, I don't know what your reaction would be. I think it's like a lot of things with the paranormal. We're so curious when you actually see this thing, like, holy shit, what do you do? What would your life even be? How do you go on? You know, I wouldn't be able to live a regular life, I don't think. It's like Steve Feltham, the guy in Scotland who saw the Loch Ness Monster back in 91 and now literally lives in a caravan along the loch and waits to see the monster again. You know what I mean? Like, it's things like that. I don't know if I'd go start living in a caravan, but I don't think if you were to ever see something like this, how would you continue on with your life? And I really feel for people who have, you know, witnessed these things. And man, like, it's one thing to be out in the forest, you know, hunting or I suppose even looking for them, like what the BFRO do over in America. But, you know, just to be driving in a car, right, you know, obviously near like a forested type area, and then actually seeing one of these creatures like step out in front of your car and literally walking across like, you know, a two-laned road in three steps, it would be terrifying. In all honesty, be like, what did I just see? People say bears are often, you know, misidentified as, you know, a Bigfoot. And when you actually see bears walking around on their hind legs, it's pretty insane. But I think it can't all just come down to that, in all honesty. So I really do feel for people. And if anyone here is listening and you've seen something like that, please get in touch. I'd love to hear your story. But I'd also love to hear how you felt after seeing something like that, because it just changes everything. You know what I mean? I guess it sort of depends in the sense of when you look at these cryptozoology type animals or creatures, right, rather, are they just an animal? You know, and this is the biggest argument that I sort of come with Bigfoot as well, is it something that is just unidentified, some sort of, you know, some sort of unknown primate that, you know, is all across the world and it's different forms that people, you know, happen to get a glance of, okay, yep, sure, potentially. Or is it something, once again, more paranormal, where it is an interdimensional type being, it chooses when it wants to be seen, and that does make sense to why we can't actually find them. Are they just, you know, far and few in between? I believe that they would probably be almost like a pack animal. People have seen them with juveniles, parents with juveniles, so I think they would be in groups, you know. But why can't we find them? Why do they not want us to find them, I suppose? You know, because something that's like 7 foot tall just walking around the forest, you think you'd potentially see more of them potentially, you know what I mean? Like it sticks out, but yet we don't. So is there something more to these creatures? And some people do go down that path and some people don't. For me, I don't know. I think it'd be great just to prove that this thing exists, you know. And it's the same thing as what I always say, like a bunch of animals that, you know, until they were actually found and, you know, captured, I suppose, or really studied, people didn't think they existed. And I think this is still the case that whatever this is, whether it's paranormal or just some sort of cryptozoology type creature at the moment, I think they're out there. Honest to God, I would bet my money. I have spoken to that many people who have seen them, that many people who even fear them in a sense, that many people who are interested and just so caught up in what this thing is that I hands down do believe that they are out there, you know, and I've sort of just broken down all the aspects that I believe sort of come into why I think this Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, Yowie actually do exist. As always, I'm so interested to know what you guys think. I love the idea of Bigfoot. Honestly, if any of you have come across anything like this, please let me know. I would love to hear your stories. I loved when I did the Shadow People episode and the amount of people have messaged me about the Shadow People stories. I just had one maybe 2 weeks ago, which actually blew my mind. And I'd maybe love to do an episode one day where I'd sort of open it up to you guys and you can write in and maybe even send audio recordings of your stories and we just do like a compilation of things that you guys have seen. There's heaps of podcasts that just do that as their format, but maybe it'd be cool to do that as like an episode of, you know, Paranormal Thoughts. I think this is a community, you know, I try to treat it like that anyway, what you guys have, because some of your stories are fucking out there, man. It's insane. Some of the, you know, reports that are, some of the things that you guys have seen and witnessed, it's terrifying and exciting and just interesting, you know. So for someone like myself who just lives for this stuff, it's so cool to really hear what you all think. But Bigfoot, in my opinion, it's 100% I'm behind it, you know. I don't think you could really bring me anything to change my mind either, just because I'm so sold on the reports. That's the biggest thing for me is the reports, you know. And I didn't really go into any because I think you can imagine what they're all like. You know, I don't want to sit here and read a bunch of – I just want to, like, talk about what I can sort of bring to the table. But I think that it's a worldwide phenomena that so many people have seen and they've just described, you know, them walking in front of their cars, shaking their tents, seeing them out on hikes. You know, it's really there. They live amongst us. And obviously, I think they're not as in the public eye because majority of the population, at least in, you know, the Western world, right, live in cities or suburbs. I think it's interesting, back when I did the episode of on the Yowie, sort of where my parents live and a lot of that area used to just be forest and bush and now it's all houses. But back before that was the case, there was a lot of Yowie sightings around that sort of area. But I guess to the general population, it's not really something on their mind unless they do go hiking and a sort of more of a wilderness type thing, because otherwise, if you're not sort of in that habitat, you're not really going to be seeing it. You have to sort of put yourself in those positions to really, I suppose, be more aware of it and actually get it. So, yeah, I think that's probably it. You know, my views on Bigfoot and why I believe that this thing exists. And hopefully I might have, you know, convinced some of you to go and look into it yourself. If you find anything that you think is pretty hard evidence against it, obviously the big one being science won't admit to it being real. Other than that sort of point, please let me know because, you know, I'm always interested, but I'm pretty sold on this one. Not going to lie. I just love it so much. I'm in for this one. So guys, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed. I love getting to come on here and just talk about these topics that I'm so in love with, in all honesty, and the fact that you guys listen just makes it all that much better. So thank you again. As I said, check out the blog post. There's going to be a bunch of stuff for you to go and have a look at and have a listen to. Also, if you enjoyed the episode, as I said, please leave us a rating. It really does help. And jump on our Instagram and Facebook. Give us a like, give us a follow so you can keep in the loop for everything that's going on currently. Just also, if you've made it this far, I just want to say sorry for the irregular kind of uploading. The rest of this year is actually extremely busy. I'm doing a lot of travel between now and January. So I'm trying my best to get as many episodes out, but literally like every second weekend up until November, where I go away for like a whole month, I'm not currently where I need to be to record and to actually produce these episodes. So it's going to be tricky, but I'm going to do the best I can to get as many episodes out for the rest of 2019. So bear with me, please. I'm doing my best. So thank you so much, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to seeing you all in another podcast episode really soon. Thanks. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.